Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Let me get to the Twitter poll here. I'm curious where this one's at. Twitter poll question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. All right, so we threw up this poll. Is it fair to say the Eagles' offense has been conservative because they don't fully trust Jalen Hurts? Which is the implication Donovan McNabb gave when he was on the afternoon show on Monday. And then yesterday, Baldy was on. And very fair question, like, hey, it looked better in the second half on Sunday. Maybe they'll do that. And he's like, no, I think they'll be conservative again. And we're trying to wrap our mind around why. I think it's fair to say that the coaching staff doesn't really trust Jalen to throw a lot, and they want to keep things conservative. 77% of people disagreeing, many taking shots at Donovan McNabb personally for the take on this, and me for whatever reason. So that's where we're at, 77% no on that one. 77%.
Interesting. I mean, you know, living their truth. People living their truths, man. Let them live their truths.
Well, I can't let people live their truths.
Well, I mean, if that's the way they feel, I mean, you know, I mean, what can you do?
Well, that's true. Ultimately, when the phone call is over, we all each go our separate ways.
I just don't understand where, like, Donovan has been in these situations, and people are talking about he's a hater. Like, that to me is crazy. That's crazy.
It is amazing. I agree with you. Aren't we past that with Donovan?
Well, it is.
Well, we should be.
Well, obviously we should be, but nobody can have. There's no adults around anymore.
Nah. We've devolved into that. I mean, I'm okay with being petty sometimes, but come on, man. The man just talking from a perspective that he lived. He's been a part. Like, he was a quarterback.
Yes, a good one.
He was a damn good quarterback. And for him to have an opinion, like, nobody saying that about Drew Brees said about the offense being boring or whatever. Well, to be fair, I haven't seen anything negative about what Drew Brees said, and I know that for a lot of people, the qualifier is Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. I mean, I get that, but that doesn't disqualify you from having an opinion because you didn't win one. Because guess what, I ain't win one either. But hell, I got an opinion. So I mean, I just think it's ridiculous for a grown person that has a 401k to sit here and that be your first qualifier when you're having an adult conversation is that he didn't win a Super Bowl. As an adult, that's something that you play the dozens with when you're in high school or the eighth grade and you say stuff like that. I don't think that's a conversation reserved for grown-ass individuals. In my personal opinion, but that's what you want to do, by all means, cook.
Well, it's one of those, I don't like the message, so I'm going to go after the messenger.
Basically, that's what you're saying. Yeah. Basically, as a grown person, that's what you're saying. Well, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to take a personal attack at you. Okay, well, fine. If that's how you want to play it, that's cool. Then that means whatever you say after that really carries no weight.
Yeah, and moving forward as the season goes on, which we all hope leads to another Super Bowl, we already have our song to get to Santa Clara. That we're trying to unpack how the
on
Eagles
on the road again.
Damn right, we're trying to figure out how we get to Santa Clara and get on
that
road again.
When we get to California,
well,
we're gonna drink some wine. We're gonna drink a couple cases.
We're gonna get banged up.
We're gonna get banged up. We're gonna let Elliot pick the restaurant again.
Yeah.
Bring some gummies.
It would be pretty wild. Like last year, you know, Bourbon Street kind of fit the bill of, like, you know, getting banged up. It would be pretty funny if we all went to a winery in Napa Valley when we get to the Super Bowl. It could happen. Scott,
we have to go right after the show too, though.
Yeah, or the night we get there.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, Scott in Norristown's up. What's up, Scott?
Hey, hi guys. First
what's
time, long
on,
time.
Hey, Scott. What's
I
up?
Love the show. Yeah, and I even love the show when you guys drive me nuts, okay? I want you to know that. But I'm hoping that I can come in here and drop a little bit of, like, not all the fan base is out of their mind. So, okay. I agree with
you guys. Let him cook.
He's cooking.
Let me cook for a sec. Let me cook. So I totally agree that I want to see a more balanced offense, right? We don't want to be winning these games as close as we are. We don't want to have the heart attack every week or feel like we need two blocked field goals to get a win, even if Jalen and the offense look totally different in the second half. So I'm in total agreement with all of that. I think my issue is when we are going straight black or white on this topic, which I think, like, Joe, you got to admit, it's a black or white take. And again, I get that Donovan said it. But to be like, well, it's just as simple as they don't trust Jalen Hurts. That's over the top. I think we have to look at all the perspectives and factors of how many games have the Eagles won out of their last 20 games?
19. Yeah.
They've won 19 games. So we are arguing, we are suffering from our own success. We are arguing against our own success. And it's why when I hear Baldy talk about this, I understand what he's saying. And even Elliot, who I hate to give credit for a take that I agree with Elliot, but I understand why you might think, like, no, we're not just going to go right back out to throwing the ball. Because if you look at how this team won the lion's share of their games, especially last year, right, we had Saquon had an incredible year, and we had that early turnover problems with Jalen at the beginning of the year, and we limited those, and we did everything we had to do. We won the Super Bowl, and then also, like, so, and I understand, we won the Super Bowl, and Jalen played great in the NFC Championship game, Super Bowl MVP, but it's hard. I feel like the missing piece that we're missing here is that we are arguing against success, and I understand it's nuanced. Like, yes, I want to see us take shots down the field. I want us to see us get balls to A.J. Brown and get balls to Devontae early and get Goddard involved. You know, like, I think all of that's fair. But again, we have not lost a game yet this year. We are still 3-0. So,
Scott, you're totally right. And it is more nuanced than maybe sometimes I make it sound. And you're right. And that's true. And I think coming into the season thinking that and that being the philosophy made sense, right? Like, why break it unless it's broken? But three games in, the run game isn't working the same, and it's probably five different reasons why. Dickerson's been banged up, all that, and defenses have adjusted. Yet, so what's striking to me is, like, Baldy yesterday saying, yeah, we all saw what happened Sunday. They're probably not going to change it. And then hearing Jalen Hurts say, we're hurting ourselves, and hearing AJ say, we're being too conservative, like, they don't even want to do it anymore. So, like, if they don't want to do it and the results haven't been good this year, I'm just trying to unpack to, like, why would the coaches not change it now?
No, and I agree. And I think it's a fair question. I just don't think it's a matter of they don't trust him. I mean, listen, who's signing the checks? I mean, they see, we're the fans, right? Or former players and human stuff, like, who have played, who might have more of a perspective. But, like, I don't think anybody questions whether the Super Bowl winning MVP quarterback can throw the ball all over the field if he has to, if we need to get it done.
Oh, Scott, can I stop you? I know you're cooking, but can I stop you right there? Because you said something that I wanted to kind of touch on. Okay, we saw Jalen in the Super Bowl, right, and what he did. So I guess the speculation is, okay, we saw that. So why was it in the first two games we didn't see more of that after we saw that in the Super Bowl? I think that's where the question lies, because they were kind of conservative, especially when you talk about the last game that he played in, which was the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, personally, again, I'm speculating like you.
Yes.
Not recklessly speculating, by the way. They were taking shots at you. But anyway, I do think it's just hard. I think if you just think about it, like, personalize it a little bit, it's like, if you've had success doing something a certain way for so long, and you've had the ultimate success doing it, I think it takes time. I mean, we are three games into the season, right? So I think it takes time with the new offensive coordinator. I just think it takes time for them to go, okay, the running game is not what it is, whatever, the O-line might not be what it is. Like, we want to get to that point. But I do think that, like, a watershed moment was going down how we did in that in the game last week, going, like, having -1 or whatever it was, passing yards, 33 yards of total offense, and then going, like, we are forced to do this. We have to do this, and we know that we can do this. But I agree. I just don't think it's going to change their overall mentality and how they play. And, like, I'm with you. I want to see them kind of take the straitjacket off Jalen more and let him get it to our weapons more. And I think they'll do some of that. But I think it's so ingrained because of how much winning we've done the way that we've already, you know, done it. I don't know.
And there is something, and Scott, good phone call. There is something that I understand,
and
too.
Scott, appreciate the adult conversation.
That was a grown-up conversation. That
seriously, I appreciate the adult conversation.
He even made me say, you know, I see it your way a little bit. No, that was a very good phone call. And I understand his point that to the coaching staff, we have won a certain way for a long time, basically every week. So I understand, and Elliot's brought this up, like, well, then why would they change? And we even talked about it the other day, like, we just scrap the run now and become a passing off of one half of... So I understand that, like, hey, take a deep breath. This is how we win. But with these receivers and the success they had on Sunday, there's also, like, the, hey, let's do that.
Also, like, McNabb was the only one who explicitly stated the concept of...
Trust.
Mistrust, right? Like, Jalen and AJ both have said, playing not to lose, playing too conservatively. Yeah. Like, they're saying without saying, like, cut this thing loose. That's all we're saying. Like, we're kind of, it's a very similar.
Don't shoot the message.
It's a very similar conversation the other day. We said, should they be more aggressive?
Yeah.
Everybody, a lot of people said, yes, they should be more aggressive. Don't you want to see Jalen Hurts cook more? Jalen Hurts wants to cook more. AJ wants to see Jalen cook more. He wants to cook more. McNabb is basically saying they should let Jalen cook.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's why when Ike asked Baldy about the offense and what he expects for Sunday, when Baldy said he thinks they're going to be conservative, it was striking to me because they saw what we saw on Sunday, that when they let Jalen throw and when they got rolling in the passing game, it looked better. So if they come out this week, Hugh, and they go back to what it looked like in the first half Sunday, I don't know what other conclusions I could draw other than they really want to be conservative here and are afraid of putting the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, and just going back and thinking about some of the games that I've been in, the teams that have, when I played, gave us the most trouble were the ones that kept you off kilter, the ones that had you guessing about what they were going to do next. And that, to me, when I think about the passing game, that's what I'm thinking about, because right now when you look at most games that we start, most teams are geared to shut the run down from the gate.
Yep.
Because they're not going to let Saquon Barkley do his thing. And to me, when I say open it up, maybe come out throwing a little bit more and show them that you're more willing to throw to open up the running game. Because what you're trying to do when the game starts is like the Eagles said last week, you're trying to figure out how they're going to attack you. And most teams going into these games know that you're going to try to establish the run early. So switch it up a little bit. Throw the ball. Throw some quick screens. You don't have to basically push the ball down the field. But I think that if you get your receivers involved early, get them warmed up, then you could come to them late, and then it opens up everything else. To me, certain plays work better when there's an imminent threat of the ball going somewhere else instead of going where most defenses think it's going to go. And what I mean by that is the run game. We know we want to get the run game going. Mm-hmm. But in order to get the run game going, there has to be a threat of the pass. And, you know, the prime example that I always use when I talk about this is the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
And the play action that they always use. They ran that play action so well that every time you saw it, you had to respect the run game. You had to respect it. And that's all you're trying to do. You want to freeze those linebackers. You want to freeze those corners so that they'll have to take a quick look to say, okay, he didn't hand the ball off, so it's a pass. And when you do that, you allow the receivers to get a step or two on that DB so they can catch the ball. Or you give him that cushion so that he can catch it in front of him and turn it into something. That's what made AJ, to me, so great. Because when you threw the ball and it was short and they played off and you threw it short, he had the ability and the strength to muscle out of that and gain about 10 to 15 more yards, or hell, even take it to the house.
Yep. Well, and that, and he's uncoverable because he could do that. All right, let's check in with our friends down WDAE down in Tampa. A little eavesdropping on the enemy here.
Eavesdropping on the enemy.
All right, let's hear what they're talking about. So, were they yesterday? We discussed the idea of the Eagles being lucky, right? Mm-hmm. I think the Bucs have been probably the luckiest team in the league to be 3-0 with all their come from behind wins in the last minute. What are they saying about that stuff?
This team is just lucky. Let me tell you something, okay? When you go 3-0 in this league, no matter how you get there, yes, you make your own breaks, but I think the Buccaneers are good, really good.
Well,
and
I mean,
when you tend to do that back-to-back-to-back weeks, I mean, Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers are the first team since the AFL-NFL merger in 1970 to win their first three games in the last minute of the first three games, which is incredible.
Kinda
is there
like
a little bit of luck involved? I guess if you want to throw that into the equation. Okay. Look, good teams, and we've seen it, like the Chiefs in recent years. You've seen it with the Brady teams, obviously, in New England, and of course, his magical year here.
Did he just invoke the Brady Patriots?
Yeah.
I mean,
he
come
did.
On now.
I think I heard that.
I mean, at least the Eagles are reigning Super Bowl champions. If we want to use their pedigree to the way they win, I can listen to that. It's enough with the Buccaneers. Come on. They were losing to the Jets with a minute to go. Does anyone realize that? Like, did he realize that? All right, so we have that. And then, is he taking shots at us? What is going on? Let's listen to this.
Sarasota, for crying out loud. He's an Eagles fan. Disgusting Eagles fan
as
well.
Yeah, but that's
not like... The only thing that sucks, Pat, is this freaking convenience fees on all the stupid apps. So it's like, I don't have $500 to take my son to the game because it's $500 counting parking. You know, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But otherwise, you know, it is what it is. But they play Jacksonville next year, so I'll go see them next year when they play Jacksonville. But either way,
Adam,
you guys have a good day. I love you guys.
We love you. You're a great kid, so we want you calling the show as an Eagles fan. We don't want you in Raymond James Stadium. Like, I feel bad that you said it's too much right now, but at the same time, you and every other Eagles fan, I don't want you at Raymond James Stadium. You take the day off, you watch the game on your couch, and don't come bleeding your green around us, you SOBs.
Don't bleed your green and throw your crap at Santa Claus around us.
They're still on that Santa Claus.
Yeah,
thing,
they're still on that one. Obviously, they are terrified that Eagles fans are going to take over Raymond James Stadium on Sunday. The fact that he's putting the PSA to tell people it's not to come to the game, that's not a good look.
What do we do with the...
Oh, they're coming.
With
they'll
the Diamondbacks, when we bought tickets, didn't go.
Oh, yeah, to the NLCS.
Now, we might have solid representation in Florida.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, because you know
Eagles fans.
Yeah,
Philly,
down,
Philly
yeah.
people, like, yeah. course.
Right next to Clearwater.
I would love to see a lot of green.
Oh, I think we will. Stadium. Mm-hmm. I always think of Clearwater as like, you know, it's like here south. Like, it's like a getaway spot for a weekend anyway.
It's like the shore, but further.
It's like, that's a good way to describe Tampa, Clearwater. It's the shore, just you need a plane to get there.
Yeah, just further.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, there'll be plenty of Eagles fans, and it'll be awesome. They're clearly worried about that, though, for them to be broadcasting it like that. Well, have we ever spent time on our show hoping that other fan bases don't come to Lincoln Financial Field for a game?
No.
I never even think about it.
It
doesn't matter. And obviously there are some, like the Steelers or whatever, like, yeah, they have more.
They travel deep.
Sure. But like for the most part, I never think about any fan base coming like, oh, I hope there's not a lot of them.
No.
It's kind of
loser behavior.
It's
not our worry.
Yeah.
No, we're not worried about stuff like that.
No, we are not. All right, 215-592-9494. It doesn't seem to me like the coaches trust Jalen Hurts throw the football. To the point where, again, I'm going to keep repeating this because it is mind-boggling. Mac Jones, the backup quarterback for the Niners.
Ooh, Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm, has thrown the ball more in two games than the Eagles have let Jalen Hurts throw in three games. It feels to me like they don't trust him. Agree, disagree, where do you come down on it? Obviously, Kyle Schwarber has got himself two home runs away from Ryan Howard. Should the Phillies let him go for it, prioritize rest down the stretch? We're all aligned on this show. Let him go for it. It's a DH. Plus, we want to get to a few things to watch for in the NL playoff race and potentially something that could affect the Phillies if tonight gets rained out. We'll hit that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.